Sunday we commemorate the baptism of our Lord, baptized into the faith in which we baptize. These words from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Well, I got a kind of a cool Christmas present this year. Got a baseball card that has a signature of a, well, soon-to-be or certainly should-be Hall of Fame baseball player, Ron Santo, former third baseman of the Chicago Cubs, kind of a childhood hero of mine. So I have Ron Santo's autograph on a baseball card here. I got that for Christmas. Pretty cool indeed. And on the back, it has what you need when you have a baseball card with a signature on it. You need a certificate of authenticity. And it reads like this. It says, "The enclosed autograph was given by Ron Santo to the Upper Deck Company, and its authenticity is guaranteed." Maybe it's a sign of the times. But if I were to take a baseball card or a scrap of paper to spring training in Arizona and hand it to Ron Santo, have him sign it in front of me and give it back, and then bring it to you and say, "Look what I have," or maybe more accurately, try to sell it on eBay, it wouldn't be worth very much at all because it would lack the certificate of authenticity. In other words, my word's just not good enough that I was there and watched him do it. You need the certificate of authenticity to have its value. We have baptismal certificates that we give to those who become part of our fellowship, not to authenticate them as people of God, but to remind them that we know it's true. The ultimate certificate of authenticity was the voice from the heavens that said, "This is my child, with whom I am well pleased." And we reenact that event every time we initiate someone through the sacrament of holy baptism and remind them and everybody else that they are authentic. They are officially a child of God, ratifying what we know is the case. And in effect, it's kind of a license. It's a license to live out one's life in the company of other of God's children, doing what the world where God's children live needs doing and that you are capable of doing. It's called the doctrine of vocation. Theologically, it starts with our baptism into a community of faith, and as we grow and learn, we learn how to contribute in ways that make sense to us and make sense to the people around us. We live out a vocation. That may or may not have anything to do all the time with the job we hold for pay. But we live out a vocation to do what God needs doing in ways that we are capable of doing. That's a license to do three things, really. Because the world we live in is a dynamic, changing, sometimes confusing place. As we live out our vocation as authentic, official children of God, I think it's first a license to seek ever new insights as to what our place in God's world is, because it can change. Faith is not the opposite of doubt, because it's in the doubting, it's in the questing, it's in the seeking, that we continue to answer the question, what's right for me in my place in God's world today? Because that can change over time. One of the interesting insights in that article from Newsweek magazine that I posted on the website of the church last week was this quote: "What's dangerous about the world today is not belief in God or unbelief, but ruthless certainty. We can only be certain of what is the case right now." And what is happening right now and what's happening around us may well change from time to time. And so we have to keep raising the question. Doubt, in a way, is kind of the ants in the pants of faith, as it were. I'm struck by the language of the 23rd Psalm. Almost lost in the beauty of "the Lord is my shepherd," and so on and so on, is the phrase, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." What's lost is that the word "path" is plural. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. There are many paths down which we walk, doing what needs doing in our world and expressing that with the skills with which we've been given. We sometimes come at crossroads in the paths in our lives, and we need to leave behind a different way of being and choose another. And the choice of another means also choosing not to either continue, as it were, or to take a different path among many choices. And that's the issue for which we pray, for guidance and for support and care from the other people with whom we live our lives. Doubt is not the absence of faith. Doubt is a constitutive feature of what pushes our faith forward and our certificate of authenticity as a baptized child of God is a license to seek. So also, as we live out our identity as God's children in the company of, well, of a bunch like this, we've been given license to smile. At least we should feel that. I'm a big fan of irony, hypocrisy, and I'd be hard-pressed to find a place on earth where you find higher levels of irony and hypocrisy than an organized religion. And you might as well laugh about it, because if you didn't, you'd quit or you'd smack somebody in the head. I am just fascinated by the ways in which we discover how to yell at other people in God's name when there's so much we believe in that's the same, and we have so much in common, and the focus on the minuscule differences we have, I think, is, well, it's maddening at first, but ultimately I think it's sort of ironic and amusing. It cracks me up that with regard to baptism, virtually all Christians agree that we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we use water. And then we fight about how much water to use, and when should we do this? That's pretty silly, it seems to me. There's so much we have in common, and to focus on the details simply creates, well, it just gets in the way. And you might as well laugh it off, because if you don't, nothing would happen. Holy Communion's another kind of interesting thing for me. Some churches use wine, some churches use grape juice, and some churches use a common cup, and some use little ones like this. And I find it interesting that the group of Christians that use grape juice, because to drink wine would be sinful, are also the same groups of people that tend to be very biblically literal. Except in that little passage in John chapter 2 where Jesus changes water into wine. Oh, well, that's a metaphor. Hold up, wait a second. The irony of that is just fascinating. And for Jesus, I think it was just a parlor trick. Hey, watch this. You haven't seen anything yet. Which is, I think, the spirit in which that passage should be conveyed. And then, you know, lest you think I'm just making fun of the other group. Presbyterians are as funny as anybody I know to watch. I mean, where four or more are gathered in my name, you find a fifth, I guarantee you that. We're just, you know, we have license, I think, to share what I hope is God's just sort of bemused raising of the eyebrows, like, oh, there they go again. And in spite of that, we press on because we are who we are in this place. And we're alternately maddening and frustrated and amusing and nonetheless capable, baptized children of God, called to be exactly who we are, which more often than not is pretty darn funny. And I appreciate that among the many gifts that I think this church has is the ability to sort of bemusedly laugh at the world around them and certainly laugh at themselves. And I certainly, most among you, appreciate that. And I'm worthy of having amusement directed at me too. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be a part of the group of people called in this place, well, to enjoy each other's company. We have license to seek, we have license to smile, and we have license to start again. Each new day is an opportunity to recall the question, what does God need doing in my world today that I can do? And what is not in that question is the mistakes of the past. We come to each day a part of a process that has included wondrous successes, dreadful failure, things that we've done that we knew were wrong. If we have the chance to do them again, we probably will. Things that we couldn't prevent or chose not to try to prevent because it would be too risky. Things that we have left undone that need doing. Each new day is a chance to start again. Because of all the changes that occur in our lives, there is one constant truth. Each sunrise brings the promise from the voice in the Bible. This is my beloved child. You, me, are my beloved child. We have value that goes beyond what we do. We are evaluated beyond whether what we do works today or not. One of the interesting features of this other baseball card is that it's not only got Ron Santo's signature on it, it's got a little scrap of wood that was cut from a bat that he used in a genuine, authentic Major League Baseball game. Makes the card more valuable because it's got a little bat chip in it. Ron Santo actually not only touched this card and signed his name, they're a little piece of a bat. This is pretty silly, isn't it? People actually pay money for this kind of stuff. The point here is that this card has extra value, not because of what is on it, but because of what's on it belonged to Ron Santo. If a baseball card is worth an extra $10 because it has a piece of a bat that once belonged to Ron Santo, and by the way, there are only 100 of them, so there's some scarcity to this too. Ron Santo's bat, 1 of 100, has extra value. If that is true, can you imagine the value of something or someone that's absolutely unique, one of a kind, and once belonged to God? That's you. If John Kennedy's golf clubs can sell for $50,000 at auction when they're just garden variety, run-of-the-mill, off-the-rack McGregor golf clubs, not because of what they are intrinsically, but because of who they belong to, can you imagine how valuable you are? In the collectible market, in the church we call home, we have license to start again. Because the value that God places in us does not change based on what happened yesterday, or a year ago, or 10 years ago. Because what hasn't changed is the promise that was brought to bear on all of us when we became a part of God's family. We are and will always be God's beloved child. And at the end of the day, probably after a raised eyebrow, bemused chuckle or two, God says, with you, he's well pleased. And on we go. Amen.